Hard to believe it now, but American soldiers once arrived in Baghdad without thinking it was too dangerous.
Everything they had been told about where they were going, Sadr City, was that it was pretty peaceful, that it would probably be a babysitting mission, and they end up in Iraq pretty much thinking they're going to be passing out candy.
Then came the 2004 battle described by Martha Raddatz. The ABC News correspondent interviewed survivors of a firefight for The Long Road Home. Her book chronicles the confusion at a moment when the war intensified. In April 2004, the 1st Cavalry Division had just arrived in an area they didn't know. They replaced soldiers who hadn't been able to stay to show them around. And then a patrol set off through Sadr City, a Shiite Muslim slum they thought was still friendly.
Four Humvees, two up-armored Humvees, the heavily armored Humvees, and two add-on armor Humvees. Which means they put it on later.
Whatever they could get. And if you could just read, I wonder, from page 46 of your book, the moment when things seemed very strange.
Well, normally these streets are very crowded to start off. And then, for the next 100 yards, the Humvees proceeded along empty streets. Garbage blew past the pockmarked buildings, colorful blankets hung on window ledges, but the people were simply gone. For what seemed the longest time, only the occasional sound of a barking dog or the bleating of a goat interrupted the silence. Then Sergeant First Class Swope in the trail Humvee heard something else, short popping sounds. It took a second for his brain to acknowledge what his gut understood more or less immediately.
Which was?
Gunfire. These are people who have never been in a gun battle. They turn a corner, and there are flaming piles of trash. They had pulled everything from the market into the streets to make a flaming obstacle course to trap this platoon in the city.
What did they do?
First of all, they jumped out. They put their Humvees in a position and took cover on the sides of their Humvees, straight out of the book. They're going to take cover on the left because they thought the firing was coming from the right. They get out and they realize the gunfire and the rocket-propelled grenades are coming from everywhere. So they decide they'll get back in the Humvees. Before they know it, two of the Humvees aren't moving. The add-on armor Humvees are disabled. So they find an alley. Shane Aguero, the platoon leader, leads them into the alley. And they turn this small band of soldiers, 19 soldiers, an Iraqi interpreter, and they walk down this alley. The alley is about 10 feet wide. Concrete houses jammed together. And they look for a house to take cover. And they basically break down the door, go in, and they go to the roof. They put the remaining Humvees forming a box in front of that door.
And they really can't move. They don't have enough transportation, and they've got wounded they probably can't carry.
They have wounded. They're getting more wounded. They have one soldier who's dead. They're in this house. They don't know where they are. The communications, because they'd just gotten there, they didn't have GPS. I mean, they were trying to find these guys from dusty maps in the Tactical Operations Center.
You mean they're calling now for help, and the rest of the battalion is trying to figure out, they don't even know
where
they are.
Where they are.
So what happened back at the base? How did they begin to try to extricate these men?
Lieutenant Colonel Gary Valesky started dispatching men, quick reaction force, to go out and try to find them. They line up all these vehicles. Of course, what was disastrous about these vehicles is that many of them weren't combat vehicles. Troy Denemy, who was the captain, who was the company commander, those were his men out there. Troy Denemy jumps in a Humvee that has a canvas top and canvas sides, his gunner totally exposed in the back. These men thought they were on a peacekeeping mission. The Army, the Pentagon, did not send all of the tanks, all of the Bradleys that they normally would have, because they wanted this to be a peacekeeping mission. But there they were, unprepared for this combat mission. And the moment they go, every rescue company goes down, they immediately see the same thing that the pinned down platoon saw. Empty streets, some of the people fleeing, garbage floating by, and obstacles. And there's at one point Troy Denemy said, "It's going to happen now. Brace yourself." And the gunfire starts again. And in these trucks, it was, as one soldier described it, we were fish in a barrel.
What's happening as that rescue mission fails to the 19 or however many are still alive of the original patrol?
The patrol is in the alley. So many of them said to me, when we were standing in that alley, we just knew that we were in a bad movie, and we didn't want it to end the way the bad movies we'd seen had ended before. There were waves of citizens and Mahdi militia who approached both sides of that alley. Children in front, adults, Mahdi militia in back, teenagers in the middle, old people. And they killed a lot of those people. They approached the Humvees. Lieutenant Aguero said at one point he just knew they could overrun them. A lot of those soldiers have children. And I asked them, what was that like to face children and know you were going to kill children? And they said, in some ways, having my own children, oddly enough, made it easier because it was kill or be killed. And that if those men were so horrible to put children in front of them, they said there was nothing they could do about it.
How did they get out, the Americans?
Eventually, after many hours, and they were running low on ammunition, and again, they had many wounded by this time, a column of tanks from elsewhere in Sadr City managed to save them.
Do these soldiers go back through this battle again and again and wonder about all the preparations they could have made to make things different?
Yes. And I just saw Gary Valesky, and he says, I go through this all the time. Could I have done something differently? Should I have done something differently? But we didn't get up in the morning to make mistakes.
Hmm. You've described the best trained, best informed, best equipped military in the world going into a situation with, as it turns out, the wrong training, the wrong information, the wrong equipment, and really not even the right mission. Is that still true today, now that those same soldiers are back again?
The Army has tried to retrain soldiers for an insurgency just as it's turned to sectarian violence. These are the men who were sent in to fight a battle that no one thought they would have to fight. The enemy made a different choice.
Martha Raddatz of ABC News is the author of The Long Road Home. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
And you can read about one soldier's arrival in Sadr City at NPR.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.